This morning we open the Word of God in the book of Psalms, and we read from Psalm 84. Psalm 84, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And we will take our focal point in the verses 4 and 10. Verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. And verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's our text. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the psalmist of Psalm 84, brothers and sisters, expresses very clearly how greatly he enjoys his going to Jerusalem. It's not for the city itself that he finds this such an enriching experience. He doesn't even mention the name of Jerusalem in his psalm. The psalmist has his focus on that one building in Jerusalem, the temple. It's this temple which makes Jerusalem so special to him. Why? Is that because of the beauty of the temple? Well, not really. It's because of the fact that the Lord wants to dwell there. The Lord his God had moved into this temple to dwell there. That certainly had become evident on the day of the dedication of the temple. At that time, the glory of the Lord had appeared as a cloud to take possession of the temple, to move in there in order to dwell there, as you can read in 1 Kings 8. That occasion had been so glorious that the priest could not even stay in the temple to serve there. Hence, those who came to the temple came home to the dwelling place of the Lord. The temple was the house of their heavenly Father on earth. And the psalmist was one of the many people who rejoiced in coming there to stand in the presence of the Lord. Hence, the psalmist speaks about the joy of dwelling with the Lord. And we see three things. First of all, where we may dwell with the Lord. Secondly, how we may dwell with the Lord. And thirdly, why we may dwell with the Lord in that joy. So first of all, where it is a joy dwelling with the Lord. Well, it is in that frame of heart and mind, beloved, that the psalmist on one of those occasions looks around and sees all the holy activities going on. People come and go. The priests and the Levites are busy with the sacrifices. Then some birds catch his attention, and following them with his eyes, he sees that they build a nest even near the altar of the Lord. That's where they live and feed their young. That's when the psalmist thinks, wow, are they ever blessed? Those birds can always stay in the temple. They can build their nest in those temple walls, and they can dwell there at home with their Creator. They are. And not only that, but then he realizes that the same applies to the priests and the Levites. They have their place and work in the temple permanently. They can go in and out as they please. What a privilege. How blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. He, the psalmist, has to return home in a little while. They, however, may dwell there. You can imagine him looking with some jealousy almost at those birds and people. Would he ever love to dwell with the Lord all the time? Imagine always in the Father's presence. Well, brothers and sisters, what was still impossible in the old dispensation has become reality today. Thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, this Old Testament temple service has come to an end. The dwelling with the Lord our God, however, has not come to an end. On the contrary, after his ascension into heaven, the Lord Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. He did so, as the Apostle Paul shows, because since Pentecost, every believer has become a temple of the Holy Spirit, in whom the Spirit of God is pleased to dwell. That's how close the Lord God has come to his people. Yes, and the other way around is true as well. His children may always dwell with him. That's no longer limited to a certain place. That's no longer limited to one nationality either, or to a particular country. Indeed, beloved, much has changed since the days of the psalmist of Psalm 84. No one needs to go to Jerusalem in order to be close to the Lord. And that's not the reason for which we need to go to church either. We certainly don't go to church because we would be closer to the Lord there. Does that mean, however, that our church going is not so important? Not at all. The Lord calls us to come together as his covenant congregation in order to meet him in a very special way. Here, we celebrate the fact that we may dwell with our God. In the Lord's Supper, we celebrate the communion we have with him. Throughout the centuries, beloved, the Lord's people have celebrated this in their holy assemblies to proclaim the Lord's love in the morning and His faithfulness at night, as Psalm 92 verse 2 puts it. Indeed, the Lord, as the Lord showed it in His law so clearly, He wanted them to make a sacrifice in the morning and another at twilight. Exodus 29:39. And that's what His people did again and again. Yes, when they reformed their worship to the Lord in 2 Chronicles 13:11, they presented their burnt offerings again in the morning and in the evening. Hence, the New Testament church has continued this practice of coming together in the morning and in the evening. In Acts 2:42, we read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Again, in Acts 20:7 also, we see the apostle Paul in a worship service on the first day of the week, breaking the bread and speaking, preaching to them in the evening, even until midnight. It's been one of those rich blessings of the Reformed churches, therefore, to call the congregation together both in the morning and in the afternoon, because they knew that thus the Lord was pleased to celebrate this day of rest, the day of the Lord's resurrection. Now we see in the second place how it is a joy dwelling with the Lord. Those who dwell with the Lord also are entrusted to the care of the Lord, His care for body and soul. That's the rich position of those who belong to the Lord, as the administration of holy baptism reminds us every time. Then the Lord says, this child or this man or woman bears my name, belongs to me, and will be cared for by me. I am the Father with whom it may dwell. I will take care of it. It's this same care, beloved, which is expressed by the Lord's Supper also. That's when we share at the table of the Lord in the love and care of the Father. That's how our faith becomes strengthened, our confidence and trust in the words of the Father. Then there is something seriously amiss when in that context someone says, still, I don't need to go to church to enjoy the presence of the Father. That's a false contrast. When you are truly convinced that the Lord dwells in you, and that you may dwell with the Lord forever, you also want to celebrate this privilege in the household of the Lord with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Then you desire to see Him in His Word more and more, to know Him more and more in His will for your life. Then you desire to warm yourself in His Son. That's what the Sunday is for. All day. You see, the psalmist shows us, beloved, it does happen indeed that people do not seek the presence of the Lord, the warmth of His Son, the protection of His shield. They don't experience this joy in the presence of the Lord. They don't feel this warmth because they put up a large umbrella, a parasol, between this sun and themselves. Then they may be a child of the Lord, but they don't see the glory of the Lord. They may know the word of the Lord and may even have confessed His name, yet they stand with their backs to the sun. in their life. Consequently, the Lord does not get the prime time of their life, just the afterthought in their plans. Oh, right. I have to pray yet. Oh, no. I forgot again to read his word today. Oh, sure. I'll go to church next week again. The psalmist of Psalm 84, beloved, knew those people too. In fact, he was living right in the midst of them. He knew the places these people frequent as well. The tents of the wicked. Those were the places where God did not dwell, where the people's lives also were without God. They are wicked. Godless, that is. That's where they dwelt. The psalmist knew all about that too. He knew the things going on in there. They celebrated the things they lived for. Their interest was for the things of this world. Their money, clothes, possessions, their fun and frivolities. In those tents the Lord did not dwell. In those lives the Lord did not shine. When you would ask them, "Are you planning to go to the house of the Lord?" they would reply, "We've just been there. You don't have to overdo it. Once in a while is enough. It's the same always anyway. It becomes tiring, you know, all this traveling. And for what?" You see, beloved, that's what the psalmist experienced too, and that's hard to handle. However, then his desire to be with the Lord becomes stronger even. That's what he lives for. Even if he could only look in from the outside, the way a doorkeeper does, even that were better than the empty life among the godless. As long as he could share in the company of the people of the Lord. Why? Why it is a joy dwelling in the Lord's presence? That's our third point. Brothers and sisters, even if circumstances have changed, that spirit we may have in common with the psalmist. The yearning of our soul, the craving of our heart and flesh will still be the same when we realize how rich we are to belong to the Lord, how privileged we are to be with the people of the Lord. Doesn't that then also determine our whole life, our soul, heart and flesh on the Sunday of the Lord? Doesn't that determine the focus on that day? The plans for that day, to be where our beautiful shepherd gathers his people together to celebrate with him and his people what we have together? Would you give up that for anything on his day? Indeed, if circumstances prevent you from being in their midst, you would rather suffice with the opportunity of live stream to listen in and hear what the Lord has to say to his people, then deprive yourself altogether and use the day like the godless do for the empty fun and foolish vanities. Is that how you look forward to the Sunday, beloved? Is the joy of such a prospect from week to week and the experience of such a joyous celebration from Sunday to Sunday not an incentive also to look ahead to the day when we will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever? We haven't arrived yet at our final destination. We are still on our way there. Going from strength to strength. For the promise is sure. The day is coming that there won't be a temple on earth any longer, or of a church building. Then also sun and moon have had their time, as the Lord has revealed in Revelation 21. That's when the Lord himself will be the temple and the Lamb. Then the Lord himself will be the light. The lamp is the Lamb. That's when we will always be in the presence of him whose face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Revelation 1 verse 16. That will be the day, brothers and sisters, of which the Lord Jesus foretold in Matthew 13 verse 43. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's the day of which we celebrate the beginnings today. That will be for the people of whom the Apostle Paul says concerning this life already, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold on to the word of life. Philippians 2:15. For you reflect in your life the radiance of your glorious Savior. You rejoice in his holy presence in the midst of the communion of his holy assembly. And in your hearts you are on your way to the Lord all the time. How blessed indeed you are who dwell with him. You praise his name continually. Amen.